have always had this tendency in my mind to associate Trinity Sunday with something going on in my family's life 22 years ago. My wife, Shelley, she wasn't feeling good 22 years ago when Trinity Sunday rolled around. She wasn't sleeping well. Her body was not all that comfortable. And that's because our oldest daughter, Abigail, was about to be born the next week. And we had watched all of the shows and read all of the books about what life was going to be like. We took the birthing classes, and yet parenthood for us was a great mystery, and certainly delivery and all that was about to come was as well. And Shelley and I were just a little bit freaked out, particularly Shelley, about that. We had been married, Shelley and I, 10 years before we ever had kids, and before we had kids, everybody was like wild to assist that we have children. You know, they would just always tell us, you know, you gotta have kids, it's gonna be wonderful, you're not gonna believe how it's gonna enrich your life. And then Shelley got pregnant, and immediately everybody changed their tune. It was like, aha, you're not gonna have a life anymore, you're not gonna sleep again, you know, you're never gonna have anything for yourself. And at first I thought, you know, what sort of bait and switch job is this? And yet 22 years later, having just put that kid into a car to drive to her new life after graduation at Sewanee to start out in Nashville this upcoming week, I can say that parenthood is both. It's wonderful. It's all-consuming. It's changed our lives for the better, and yet, as every parent in here knows, there's also pain and anxiety, and all of that mystery has come together in just being a dad and a mom. When one contemplates such mysteries of life like parenthood, I think the words of Jesus that he gave his disciples right at the very end of his earthly ministry hold true for many things when he said, I have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them right now. That's certainly true when it comes to the miracle of raising kids, but it's also true about many things in life, certainly about the Christian life. There's so much about the Christian life that is not intuitive. It doesn't make a lot of sense. It certainly is not apparent. It comes through revelation. That's why we engage these ancient scriptures, but the truth of revelation shows up in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, who says things that don't make a whole lot of sense on, you know, the surface, like the first are going to be last, and the last will be first, or that the poor are blessed, or that we are to love our enemies. Even the fact that this Jesus is a crucified Messiah, none of that makes sense in some straight-on intellectual way. You just have to live with it and engage those truths for a while, kind of like being a parent, to get at them. And that's why faith isn't dependent upon how much you know any more than being a parent is dependent on how many books you've learned about childbirth. So today is Trinity Sunday, and like parenthood and other great mysteries, the doctrine of the Trinity is one of those sorts of realities that no one can kind of get straight on, I think. Intellectually alone, you have to experience it and live with this truth in order for it to be God. Now, 27 years ago next week, when I became a priest, I remember that, you know, Sewanee told me to never preach on the Trinity on Trinity Sunday, that you're going to mess it up and confuse people. And I have never followed that advice, and I'm not going to follow it today. And you can tell me if I've made a mistake at the end. But it's a great mystery that needs to be dealt with and engaged. I mean, we're Episcopalians, after all, and you can't put everything in the church on the bottom shelf. I mean, we have to reach for some truths in life, and even though it's going to take a while to get at it, you still get at it. You still engage it. And so while I don't mind admitting that the Trinity is a great mystery that it's going to take an eternity for each and every one of us to explore, I will insist that it's worth exploring. And that we have to explore it if what we say about ourselves is actually true. That the nature of God is this relationship of persons. and that we are made in the image of this God, which says something about us. So if we don't explore the nature of the Trinity, then we don't know ourselves. And what it says to us, this doctrine, is that we have a God who is all the God that we will ever need. That's what it means when it says that God is Father. It's not about biology, by the way. It's saying that God is big enough and transcendent enough and holy enough to accomplish all that needs doing, that this is a God who can do the heavy lifting. And when it says that God is Son, what it means is it's a God who has come near to us, to understand us and save us, not just as somebody who's kind of walked a mile in our shoes, but literally a lifetime in our skin, to know us as intimately as any human being can be known. And when we say that God is Spirit, we say that God is not isolated or removed, but God is present and moving out and with us everywhere, even right here today. But it also, this doctrine tells us who we are. If we are indeed made in the image of a relationship of God, that is that we find ourselves in relationship. I mean, think about the most miserable human being that you could think about, and that person is isolated and self-consumed and alone and cares not a bit about others. But if I ask you to tell me somebody that was large and alive as a human being, it's somebody who cares about others. When I deal with couples who are being married, I ask them to imagine the couple that they want to be like 50 years from now, and to have that couple in mind, and usually it's grandparents or something like that. And then I say, you know, right now you're getting married and everything's about you. Where are you going to live? What are you going to do? You know, are we going to have kids? But think about that couple 50 years from now, and it's never any more about just them. It's about something larger. They can, because of their love, bring more and more into that relationship. And when you think about them, the two really is one. And that two that became one also somehow becomes a million because it grows and grows. In other words, because we're made in the image of a God who is a relationship, we find ourselves in relationship. And that's why the Trinity isn't something, again, to be understood. I think of it kind of like C.S. Lewis said that he thinks about the sun. He said, you can't look at the sun. You see everything because of the sun. You don't have to understand the thermodynamics of the sun in order to experience its warmth. And everything in our lives is enlivened by the fact that we are invited into this relationship that is at the heart of who God is. And that relationship informing us, made in the image of this God, allows us to find ourselves in one another. It's a mystery, of course, much like parenthood, but it's something that we, I hope every day, will live more and more into and embrace and never run away from, because not only on Trinity Sunday, but every day of our lives, we are made in the image of such a God. So thank God today for